you can start, because I know you have exciting.
What? Oh, you mean about, like,
life stuff? Yeah, because my day was just shit, and I'm just not ready to talk about it yet.
Yeah, well, guys, I am in college. Oh my god, yes. Woo! I'm getting an education, women in STEM. Yeah, so I moved to my college this week. This week was my first week, and it's been pretty good. I did have some trouble finding my way across campus, and I kept thinking that my class times were later than what they actually were, so I was like 5 to 10 minutes late to like every single one of my classes, except today I was early.
Proud of you.
I originally was going to take calculus, and I literally went to one class and said, this is not for me, so I switched out and I'm taking oceanography now. So I'm taking organic chemistry, oceanography, and what's my other class, oceanography, organic chemistry, Spanish, intermediate Spanish.
Yep. I'm struggling a lot with Addie being in college, and not because I'm not happy for her. Like, I'm so ecstatic for her. I, like, keep forgetting Addie's in school, and I'll text her, and she'll be like, I'm in a class right now. I'm so sorry. I'm like, fuck!
No, okay, hold on. I usually don't text you while I'm in class. I'll just text afterwards and be like, oh, hey, sorry, I was in class.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
Or she'll be like, I'm on my way to a class, or, like, and I'm like, oh, my God, yeah. I forgot that people have lives. Because, you know, neither of us had lives for a very long time.
Yeah. I feel so bad because this week has been, like, I don't know. I've been super busy. And then I feel like there were many a time that, like, you needed to talk to me. And oh, I was just, like, busy doing things. And I felt so bad because I was, like, normally I'd be there 24/7, you know. And now I have, like, a schedule and stuff, but I'm still here for you always.
I know. Yeah, don't even worry about it. Like, I'm not offended by it or anything. I'm just being a bitch. Like, I'm not actually upset. It's just an adjustment, kind of, for everyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just had a very long day, so I'm very glad that, like, you're done with classes for the week. Mm-hmm. The weekend is here.
Yeah.
And I can have my Addie time on this call right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I watched literally every single Spider-Man movie that ever been made. I don't think I've ever talked about this. I'm a huge Marvel fan. My problem is I hate Tobey Maguire, and I refused to watch his movies, and I thought that his Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man were related for such a long time, because I obviously, like I said, I'd never seen them. So also, I'm just head over heels for Tom Holland, but now I'm more head over heels for Zendaya, and she's kind of the reason I've been watching the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. So
no, we absolutely do talk about it, because yes, it's a valid reason.
I know. But I honestly, I do still love Tom Holland, like, and I love his Peter Parker. Like, it's a perfect representation of who Peter, and I'm not getting into this, the whole comic universe. I can't do it right now, but I'm such a nerd. But basically, I watched Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies, and then I watched Homecoming and half of No Way Home. So what is that, 6.5 movies that I watched on Wednesday? No, that was yesterday. And then this morning I finished No Way Home, and then I illegally found No Way Home. Wait, did I say I finished Far From Home? I finished Far From Home.
Yes, Far From
this
Home.
This morning, yes. Sorry, my brain is still not working, if you can't tell. And then I found No Way Home on the deep web this morning, so it was
very
really
legally and very safely.
Oh yeah, my ad blocker is totally helpful. No, the thing, it's actually, I use that website all the time, and I've never had an issue with it. My only problem is because it hasn't been released for, like, digital download or DVD, that the audio the audio is definitely just, like, recorded at the theater with someone's phone and, like, put over the video.
The movie.
Because every now and then there would be a really nasty, like, phlegmy cough in the movie. And I'm like, who the fuck just coughed? And it would just keep going. And I'm like, oh, that's the recording.
No, they actually mixed it in. That's actually the original audio. They just mixed it in.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I don't know. I want to say I made progress by
that
liking Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I will admit, it was a good movie. All three of the movies were really good. Yeah. Andrew Garfield's, however, Andrew Garfield is probably my favorite Spider-Man.
I think a lot of people would agree with you.
I also just love Andrew Garfield. He's just a gem. Also, my parents' dog, Parker, I made them name him after Peter Parker. So Spider-Man holds a very special place in my heart, and that's all I have. That's bringing me joy right now, is talking about Spider-Man to help with my shitty day.
I still need to watch. So I've watched all the Tobey Maguire ones, and I've watched, I think, Homecoming, and I haven't seen Far From Home, and then obviously I haven't seen No Way Home. But I love Tom Holland, love everything he's about. I do like his Peter Parker a lot, but there's just something, I have a very special place in my heart for Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, just because it's like, I think it's a nostalgia thing.
Of course.
And I feel like those movies are so bad, but so good and iconic in like a good way, you know?
I thought they were really good, but I think that's also because I know the comic universe. And from what I can remember about the comic universe, I believe they're very similar. I'd have to like go back and read the comics again, because I have a bunch of them, but
I know nothing about the comic universe, so I just like
750 Marvel comics.
Oh my god.
I have all four original Wolverine comics. When my uncle died in, it was either 84 or 86, but that's a really sad thing, is the comics stop, like they're dated. And I was organizing them by date, and then at one day, like, I got to the last one, and it just stopped. It was really fucking sad.
Yeah. But,
yeah, he was a huge comic book collector, and when I started getting into Marvel stuff, my Aunt Joanne was like, these were your Uncle Louie's, like, I've been saving them, and I don't know what to do with them, but I don't have the heart to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through them. I didn't get rid of all the DC ones. I just put them in, like, a different box.
Yeah.
And I took all of the Marvel ones, and there were 750 of them.
That's insane. An amazing collection, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's yours.
It is. Anyway, that's enough about Spider-Man.
Why don't we just... No, that... Thanks for coming to the podcast, guys. Bye.
Thanks, bye. See you next week. I don't want to do this case.
I'm so curious as to what this is, because I feel like every week that you pick out a case, it's like, one, you don't tell me unless I already know about what it is, but most of the time you don't tell me what you're doing. And then we get into it and you're like, spoiler alert, it's fucking gory and insane. And I'm like, great, let's get into it.
This, I want to say, I feel like I can't compare anything to Sylvia Likens. Like, that's out of a question. Serial killer wise, this is the worst I've ever done. And I'm going to put a disclaimer, like, gruesome.
Here we go.
It's absolutely gruesome. Disclaimer that I've said before, I'll say it again, I am really trying to do justice for the victims, and it's very difficult to find information on the victims. These crimes happened 100 years ago in the 1920s, or like 90 years ago, whatever.
Oh my god, that is insane to me.
Yeah, I had an existential crisis earlier thinking about that.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. So I could not find a single fucking thing aside from like what these murder victims looked like, because they were all children. Sorry in advance. Yeah, because they were all kids, and so people don't say much about you when you're younger than 10, and I just assume they were all great kids and they were loved and whatnot, and especially because I said this was like 100 years ago, so there's no one to even keep track or like tweet about it or like, you know. And I do want to say this case, it wasn't recommended necessarily, but when I was on True Criminals, Eric said that this was his favorite serial killer case.
Okay.
Because the guy was a fucking idiot and just, he's easy to laugh at.
I can't wait to rip this guy to shreds.
Absolutely do. I'm going to wait to tell you who he is, though, until two pages in. So I'm going to, remember texting you earlier, and I was like, I don't know how to set this up. Well, I thought of a genius way to set it up, so I'm gonna do da-da-da-da-da. Okay. This suspense is gonna just destroy you, right? And then I'm gonna be like, and his name was ba-ba-ba-ba, and then I'm gonna tell you about him.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Yeah? Does that seem like a good... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit excited now, because I know that this is gonna be fucking hilarious, because we're gonna just...
Okay. Rip this guy a new one? Yeah.
Oh, it just starts off really, really shitty. I'm sorry. So, on the night of July 14th, 1924, 9-year-old Francis McDonald's parents reported him missing. when he didn't return after playing catch with his friends. A search party found his body hanging from a tree in the woods near his home.
That's so sad.
I'm just going to keep in mind he's 9 years old.
Yeah.
Trigger warning all around for this case, not even just for this part, just this entire fucking case. There is cannibalism involved as well, so like...
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah, like this case, it's just disgusting. This guy was fucking vile, so please, if you can't handle gore, like, we will not be offended if you don't listen to this episode, but yeah. Don't say I didn't warn you. So, yeah, Francis had been found, that night his body was hanging from a tree in the woods near his home. He had been sexually assaulted and strangled with his suspenders. He had severe lacerations on his abdomen and legs, and his left hamstring had been entirely stripped of its flesh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So basically, when they found him, he was all cut up, and then he, like, didn't have any flesh on his left leg.
Wow.
So, Francis's friends told investigators that he was taken by an elderly man with a gray mustache. A neighbor witnessed the same man walking with Francis along a path into the woods.
Hmm.
Francis's mother, Anna, had seen the man that day as well, saying, quote, "He came shuffling down the street, mumbling to himself, and making queer motions with his hands. I saw his thick gray hair and his drooping gray mustache. Everything about him seemed faded and gray."
What a very not strange way, but like, what a very interesting way to describe someone. Like, he was gray,
yeah,
both like inside and out, you know what I mean? Like, he was old and gray, and like, he like seemed that way too. My question is, like, no one like batted an eye that like this old creepy man was like walking with
it's
this 9-year-old. Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know.
It could have been, like, his grandson or something. I don't know.
That's so strange.
It is. It is strange. It's fucking weird. I'm not denying that. Mm-hmm. So it's funny you say that using, like, the term gray as an overall descriptor is interesting, because the description given by Anna led this man to be known as, quote, the gray man.
Oh, okay.
So 3 years later, on February 11th, 1927, 4-year-old Billy Gaffney was playing in the apartment hallway with his 3-year-old friend Billy Beaton and another 12-year-old boy. So the 12-year-old boy, I read in one source, was Billy Beaton's older brother.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were some that just said that he, like, lived in the apartment next to where they were playing. So gotcha. They were just, like, playing in the hallway.
Yeah.
So the older boy, the 12-year-old, was babysitting his sister, and he went inside when he heard her crying, but he came back out once he, like, settled her down and everything. And when he came back out, both boys were gone. Billy Beaton, the 3-year-old, was found on the roof of the apartment building, and he had said that the boogeyman had taken Billy Gaffney.
Oh my gosh.
I want to know how a fucking 3-year-old gets to the roof of an apartment building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's all they said. They didn't say, like, he didn't say how he got up there.
Yeah.
And he might have been running, and, like,
yeah,
that's where he ended up, but...
But still, that's crazy.
And the I don't know.
The boogeyman. Oh,
there's something so scary.
Yeah.
About a 3-year-old describing someone that kidnapped his friend as the boogeyman.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, too, I'm like, what if he fucking said that to them? What if he's like, I'm the boogeyman, and then took the 4-year-old?
Oh, my God, that would be...
It's mortifying.
Yes, yeah, terrifying. He must have been so scared.
Yeah, I can't fucking imagine. So, Billy Beaton describes the boogeyman as a slender, elderly man with gray hair and a gray mustache.
Hmm.
So, interesting. Hmm. Later that day in Brooklyn, in a trolley car, a man named Joseph Meehan saw an elderly man trying to console a little boy with no coat or hat, mind you, in the middle of February, who was crying for his mother.
Oh. Why doesn't anybody, like...
I was thinking about that, but listen.
Gosh.
How often do you just, like, see screaming kids in the grocery store? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
this guy could have been his grandfather.
That's the worst part of it, because he, like, could be, you know, like, grandpa's taking the kids for the day and he's screaming. So like, yeah, but it's also like, I don't know. For me, at least, I would do a double take and just see kind of like what's going on. You know what I mean? Instead of just being like, oh, it's probably like this is probably happening.
Right. Well, exactly.
Granted, this is like, you know, before all of
Stranger danger.
Yeah, stranger danger stuff. So
that's the biggest part of this case for me is there's so many times where I'm like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
With the whole stranger danger thing. I'm just like, mm-hmm. where? And I'm realizing like no one really gave a shit.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
So after they started looking for Billy Gaffney, Joseph Meehan had identified the child that he saw on the trolley as Billy Gaffney. But this was, like, after he had saw them. Basically, once they put pictures out, he was like, oh, I've seen that kid before, and he was with this guy. Unfortunately, the little boy was never seen again after Joseph had seen him.
Oh, man.
Except for that creepy old dude who was with him, who we now know was kidnapping him.
And this was three years after the first thing, right? There was some time. It wasn't like it was, like, a month or two later.
Yeah, and that's why they never connected the two. Because that was a big thing, is that people were pissed that they never got connected.
Yeah.
Moving on after that, in May 1928, so a little over a year later, an 18-year-old boy put an ad in the paper, and he was looking for a job in the country, because I guess that's what you did, like, back in the 20s, you just put ads in the paper for jobs. On May 28th, an elderly man named Frank Howard visited the Bud residence, who is the, his fucking name? I forgot to write down the kid's name. The 18-year-old boy's name was Edward Budd.
Okay.
He was looking for a job. This guy, Frank Howard, called in about it, went to the residence with the intention of hiring Edward, and he promised he'd send for Edward and his friend Willie in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Frank never showed up, and later he sent a telegram to apologize and to ask if he could come back on a different day.
Mm-hmm.
So upon arriving at the Budd residence again, he met 10-year-old Grace Budd, Edward's younger sister. I just saw your face drop. You know what's coming. She had just gotten back from church, so she was wearing a white silk dress, white silk socks, and white shoes. Frank had told Grace's parents that his niece was having a birthday party and invited Grace to go with him. And her mother was like, absolutely not, but her dad...
Thank you.
Was like, let her go have fun. She never gets to do anything fun.
No.
So her parents allowed her to go on the terms that she'd be back before 9 p.m. And
that's so late for a 10-year-old.
I feel like. I don't fucking know. It really is, but I don't know with the commute and everything.
Right.
Frank Howard had promised she'd be back by 9 and gave them this address. But once she left with Frank Howard, she was never seen again.
Fuck.
They went to the house that Frank Howard had given them the address for. It doesn't exist.
Oh, my God.
And so they were basically just like, well, shit. On September 5th, 1930, so 2 years later, a man named Charles Edward Pope was arrested for Grace's disappearance because his estranged wife had turned him in.
Oh? Wait, what was this guy's name?
Charles Edward Pope.
Okay.
He was found not guilty at his trial on December 22nd.
Why did his wife turn him in? Do you get into that?
She was just pissed at him. She hated him. So she turned him in. So this is a letter that the Budd family had received in November 1934.
Oh my God. And this was like months after because this happened in May, right?
Grace got abducted in 1928. In May 1928. Charles person was arrested in 1930 and they got this letter in 1934.
Oh, so this is like years after this happened.
Yeah, 6 years.
Okay, gotcha. Wow, that's such a long time. Okay, continue.
And like I said, or I don't know if I said it, but it's still a disappearance currently.
Yes. Okay, gotcha.
And I'm sorry. I'm reading the letter and it's just not good. Also, something that's also really sad before I get into this is that Grace's mother couldn't read.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so her son had to read it.
Oh, no.
And it says, "My dear Mrs. Budd, in 1894, a friend of mine shipped as a deckhand on the steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco to Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone. At that time, there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was $1 to $3 per pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold for food in order to keep others from starving. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe for the street. You could go in any shop and ask for a steak, chops, or stew meat. Part of the naked body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted cut from it. A boy or girl's behind, which is the sweetest part of the body and is sold as veal cutlets, brings the highest price. John stayed there so long that he acquired a taste for human flesh.
Stop. I'm sorry. Keep going. No.
Okay. Do you need me to take a break?
No. I'm good. I'm just like, and I have no idea where the hell this is going, but I'm like livid already. Just continue. It's okay.
On his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1 7, 1 11. He took them to his home, stripped them naked, and tied them up in a closet, and then burned everything they had on. Oh my god, I didn't read this before I copied and pasted this, so I'm suffering as well. Several times every day and night, he spanked them, tortured them, to make their meat good and tender.
What? Oh my god.
I read most of it, just not this part. First, he killed the 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass and, of course, the most meat on it. Every part of his body was cooked and eaten except the head, bones, and guts. He was roasted in the oven, all of his ass, boiled, broiled, fried, and stewed. Fuck.
No.
This little boy was next, and he went the same way. At that time, I was living at 409 East 100th Street. He told me so often how good human flesh was, and I made up my mind to taste it.
No!
On June 3rd, 1928, I called on you at 406 W 15th Street and brought you pot, cheese, and strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat on my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her.
No! Don't fucking say that. Don't say that. Ugh! I hope that whoever wrote this and did this rots in hell for the rest of eternity.
He definitely did.
This is so fucked. Like, okay, I know you still have more of the letter to read, but, like, what's super fucked is that, first of all, he did these things. Like, the fact that he fucking did them is disgusting, but also to fucking send a letter to the family of their child who is missing, they don't know what happened to her, and to say this shit,
right,
is just vile. That's such an evil thing to do, and it's so fucked up, and it makes me so angry, because I can't imagine, like, how, like, hearing this, just, like, how absolutely heartbreaking it is to hear that and being, like, basically this guy's boasting about their child.
Their 10-year-old.
And, like, what he did. Yeah. And then they have to, like, deal with that and they don't know, like, where she is. Like, I mean, obviously, the only remnants of her are not even, like, her body. So, like, that's heartbreaking. And then, two, like, they have to hear about what was happening to her and what happened to her.
Right.
And just, like, in detail. Like, that's so fucked to me. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, don't apologize. You're completely right. I'm glad you stopped me because I needed to take a break for this part. It's worse than what I just read. On the pretense of taking her to a party, you said yes, she could go. I took her to an empty house in Westchester. I had already picked it out. When we got there, I told
her... I'm sorry. This is happening in New York, right?
Yes.
Westchester's not that far from me.
I don't like that.
Anyway, continue.
When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked wildflowers.
No.
I went upstairs and stripped all my clothes off. Ugh. I knew if I did not, I would get her blood on them.
Oh, no.
When all was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid in the closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run down the stairs. I grabbed her, and she said she would tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked. How she did kick, bite, and scratch. I choked her to death, then cut her in small pieces so I could take the meat to my rooms, cook, and eat it. How sweet and tender her little ass was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her, though. I could have if I wished. She died a virgin.
I hate that. Is that the end of the letter?
That's the end of the letter.
So fucked. That's so messed up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how her family must have felt hearing that and reading it. That makes my blood boil and it makes my stomach go into knots. It's so, yeah. That's so disturbing. Like,
cannibalism in general makes me violently ill. Like, just all of it just makes me wicked fucking sick. But this is too much.
Yeah.
Luckily, he was a fucking idiot, and he pretty much led the cops right to him with the letter.
Yeah.
So that's some good news. So the envelope the letter was delivered in had an emblem on it from the New York Private Chauffeurs Benevolent Association. You're asking, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
So a custodian at this New York Private Chauffeurs Benevolent Association, he had told Detective William King that he had taken some envelopes home, but must have left them in his room when he moved out.
Gotcha. So he had the address of this person. Mm-hmm. What a dummy.
Yep.
Especially, you know what's so dumb? Is that, like, this is not, like, I bet you this is a noticeable logo. And he's like, yes, this seems like a good thing right? to send my letter in. Something that has an identifying piece of information of, like, something. You know what I mean? Like,
fucking moron. Basically, he was living at, like, a rooming house. So I guess what that is it's basically, like, a big house. And there's, like, you know, one bathroom, one kitchen, but they just rent out rooms.
Gotcha, yeah.
This custodian was living in a room at this rooming house.
Gotcha, yeah.
And now the guy that's renting that room
is living there.
Yes. So the landlady of this rooming house told Detective King that a man matching Frank Howard's description had been living there for 2 months. This man's name was Albert Fish. Da 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 da.
Albert Fish?
Albert Fish.
He would be fucking Albert. No offense to any Alberts listening to this, but your name now creeps me out.
I'm just thinking of Fat Albert.
No, Fab Albert.
Fab Albert.
Fat Albert is safe. Fat Albert is safe.
So Albert had checked out the rooming house just 2 days prior to the investigators arriving and interviewing the landlady. He was expecting his son to send him money in the mail. And so the landlady had agreed to hold the money for him because he, like, didn't have a new address yet. So on December 13th, 1934, like I said, this letter was mailed in November. I don't know date, but...
Yeah, so it's been about a month.
Yeah. Yep. So on December 13th, 1934, the landlady called Detective King to tell him that Albert had arrived to pick up his letter from his son, or the envelope from his son.
Yeah.
When Detective King opened the door to the rooming house, he asked for Albert Fish. Albert stood up and nodded before reaching into his pocket, taking out a razor blade, and waving it in front of himself.
I'm sorry, what?
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
Detective King easily disarmed and arrested Albert.
I'm sorry. I just imagined, like, this old man, like, the detective, like, burst into the room, like, where's Albert Fish? And he's like, ooh, you can't get me. I have a razor blade. Like, what an idiot. Oh, my God.
No, because Detective King literally just, like, twisted his arm behind his back and was like, all
right. Like, I imagine it's not like he has a knife or, like, a gun, like, something that is actually intimidating at all. Like, it's a razor blade. Like, you literally couldn't do anything better than that.
I'm wondering if it was, like, a barber's razor, but I don't, let me look up 1920s razor blade real quick. Give me a second.
Your Google search history going crazy today.
Yeah, we don't talk about what was in my search history earlier. You'll know when we get to it.
Oh my God, yeah, I was just about to say, because that was for the podcast. That's coming up. So I'm so fucking concerned about what the hell is going to happen next. Oh my God.
I'll tell them, they're probably like, what the fuck is Audrey doing with her life? Wait, what was I looking up? Oh, 1920s razor. Yeah, so it's like just a singular, like, little blade, and you just slide it into a... Can you stop digging the blanket and just pick a place to lay down, please?
Paisley.
Yeah, so it was literally like a tiny ass, I'm assuming, like, just a tiny fucking razor blade that you get in, like, a pencil sharpener. Like, it's, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
I know
you don't watch SpongeBob, you don't have any idea what I'm about to say, but
I don't.
There's, like, this episode of SpongeBob where, like, all these, they're, like, all ganging up on this, like, one old guy, and they're like, how many times do we have to keep telling you, old man? And I don't know why, but like when he was like waving the razor blade around, like that's the first thing that popped in my head.
Nice.
Anyway, continue.
So that's everything that I have like pre-Albert, you know what I mean? Because I was like, gotcha. I'm going to set this up in a way that's mysterious and then I'll tell you about okay. him, right? So now I'm going to tell you about Albert Fish and like,
okay,
you know, that thing that's like, you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
And then it goes into his life story.
Okay.
Except we're going to just tear him up right now.
I'm so ready.
So the first thing, you're just going to laugh your ass off. So Albert was not his birth name. He was actually born as Hamilton Howard Fish.
That's so much worse than Albert. That's so much worse than Hamilton what fish?
Hamilton Howard Fish.
Howard Fish. Hamilton Howard Fish. His parents hated him.
They did,
his
actually. So
hate. They did, actually.
Ready? I haven't. So a lot of these notes about his life, I wrote like 2 weeks ago when I started this and, you know, yeah. like slacked off, right? So I'm reading, I'm like skimming some of them now. I'm like, oh my God, they're bad. So he was born May 19th, 1870 to Randall and Ellen Fish in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
His father was 75 and his mother was 32 when he was born.
Oh my God.
So he was the youngest of three living children, Abby, Walter, and Edwin. I called him I wrote Hamilton in a lot of this because I figured he'd hate it since he changed his name to Albert.
So what were his siblings' names?
Abby, Walter, and Edwin.
Yeah, those are all normal names. And then his parents were like, fuck it, Hamilton.
Seriously. So Albert's family had a long history of mental illness, and his uncle suffered from what was known at the time as, quote, mania. I said at the time, I don't want people to think that I'm just insensitive about mental health. His brother was confined in a state mental hospital. His sister was diagnosed with, quote, mental affliction. And his mother had visual and audio hallucinations.
Gotcha. They all suffer from mental illness and, like, are not okay, maybe. Yeah, no.
Three other relatives along the line were also diagnosed with some sort of mental illness.
So it just runs in their family, like...
In 1985, when Hamilton was 5 years old, his father died at 80 of a heart attack.
Do you mean 1885?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Wait, this is not correct. It had to be like 1875.
Gotcha.
It was. It makes sense why I wrote that, because I must have clicked 9-8 instead of 8-7.
Gotcha.
So, thank you. In 1875, when Hamilton was 5 years old, his father died at 80 of a heart attack.
I don't know why it's so funny. It's not funny that, like, well, no, fuck this guy. I don't care. He's like 5 years old and he's like got an 80-year-old dad from a heart attack. Like,
his dad is literally old enough to be a great grandparent.
Yeah, him. Like, it's
just, what is this?
It's like he was born. It's like, hi, dad. 5 years later, bye, dad.
Bye, dad. ready. So then his mother then sent him and his three siblings to St. John's Orphanage, since she didn't have that's actually really, really sad. She didn't have the resources to care for them. But okay. She was like, bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for him. And that's like, that's one of the things, is like, I actually don't feel bad for childhood him, because childhood him was a fucking jackass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, at the orphanage, the other kids called him Ham and Eggs.
They said, oh, you're down bad?
Green eggs and
fuck
ham.
You.
Green eggs and ham.
Yeah. Ooh, green eggs. Ham and eggs. You fucking idiot. Your name's Hamilton. Fuck you. And you don't got a dad. And your mom left you. Yeah, fuck you. Ham and eggs.
And that's how I imagine kids bullied in the 20s too, and then they would just kick the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is sad that he calls himself Albert, because that's the name of his dead brother.
Okay, that's a little sad, but
yeah, so
I don't care.
Albert was the name of his dead brother, whom I didn't mention earlier because he's dead. Albert, not the brother, the Hamilton, who has now changed his name to Albert.
Ham and Eggs, yeah. I'm only referring to this guy as Ham and Eggs from this point forward.
So Albert was severely abused at the orphanage, but he began enjoying the physical pain of the beatings he would receive.
What the hell?
He's
masochist, fuck.
Allegedly, the caretakers at the orphanage encouraged the children to abuse each other.
What?
Yep.
Wait, that's so fucked up.
I know.
Okay, continue.
So he said about the orphanage, quote, "I was there till I was nearly 9, and that's where I got started wrong. We were unmercifully whipped. I saw boys doing many things they should not have done." In 1880, Ellen, his mother, got a job and was finally stable enough to take Albert back home.
But she didn't take the other kids back home?
I could not find that out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't find that out. Every source just said that she, like, Albert went back home. But it never said anything about the siblings. So I'm confidently saying I genuinely don't know shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
In 1882, at 12 years old, Albert started a relationship with a telegraph boy who introduced Albert to pee and poop kinks. And I said pee and poop kinks because I did not want to write down that he liked to drink pee and eat poo-poo.
Ah, ew. What a gross child. Like,
disgusting little fuck.
I just, like, imagine his mom walking into his room and he has, like, a bag of shit. And she's like, what are you doing? He's, like, sitting there eating shit. Washing it down with a glass of pee. Like, that's so nasty. Oh, well, mom, sorry, I already ate dinner today. I had my filling of shit and piss.
Well, I read, like, later, and it was, like, a sex thing. Like,
oh, that...
Yeah. And
no,
so...
okay, actually, no, full offense to...
No, full offense.
People with sex kinks that, like, if you eat shit as a sex kink, I'm judging you. I'm so sorry, but I'm also not sorry at all. I'm judging you so hard. I feel like
I can get hepatitis from that.
You can definitely get something. You can get a lot of things, I feel like, from that. But, like, I can excuse piss, but once we get into the land of shit, like, that's where I start to, like, you have maybe to see a therapist. Like, maybe go,
oh my God,
like, get checked out.
Speaking of, like, transmitting things through poop, I learned that if you... Okay, I learned this because I was researching COVID, because, like I said, I had COVID, and, like, immunocompromised people react differently to it, and so I was reading up on, like, how long I'm contagious for and whatnot, and I came across this thing, and it was saying that, like, you could not be contagious through breathing, but, like, try not to use public bathrooms because your poop can be contagious for, like, a whole month.
What?
And I don't know if that's true, but I think that's fucking disgusting regardless, because who would start a lie like that?
COVID has a poop kink. Oh my God.
Oh my God, COVID has a poop kink.
Ha 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 ha, fuck you, COVID.
Anyway, so yeah, at 12 years old, Albert started eating his boyfriend's pee and poop. Then Albert started his favorite weekend activity, and that would be, well, he started visiting public baths and would just watch other boys. I'm laughing at Addie's face, not at this, because it's disgusting, but he would just watch other boys undress.
Ew.
Yeah.
Creepazoid.
So we have pee and poop eater. We have
peeping Tom,
voyeurism, and enjoying physical pain.
How did, like, mom not notice any of this going on?
I don't think that she was doing all that well, clearly. So then he also found enjoyment in mailing obscene letters to women who he found in newspaper ads.
Ugh.
For, like, jobs and shit.
Yeah.
Because as I was saying, like, people would put that they're looking for jobs in the... Yeah, so he would just mail, you know, people looking for maid jobs.
Why wasn't he in school or, like, doing... Like, he wasn't, like, busy doing other things? Like, why did this kid have so much free time to, like, do this unhinged shit?
I mean, have I don't know about how maybe school worked in the 1800s.
Going to therapy or... But I feel like it was still... yeah, that's true, I guess. Whatever. This kid had way too much time on his hands to be discovering all this stuff.
I don't know. Maybe there was, like, the bubonic plague or something when this was happening, and school was online because there's a plague going
school
around.
School was on. Oh, Ham and Egg, you haven't been joining our Zoom calls lately. Sorry, I was watching people get undressed and eating shit. My schedule's been pretty busy lately.
Yeah, so by age 20, Albert moved to New York City and became a sex worker. Boo, I don't want to read that. Around this time, he also began luring young boys from their homes and raping and torturing them. Now, when I say young boys, I mean 6 and younger.
Oh my God.
I do not mean teenage. I mean like toddlers.
Children.
Yes.
Children.
Yeah, as we could see from the earlier cases, Billy Gaffney. His favorite method of torture was a nail-studded paddle. In 1898, his mother arranged for him to be married to a woman named Anna Mary Hoffman, who he had 6 children with.
Oh my God.
Yep. Albert, Anna, Gertrude, Eugene, John, and Henry.
Mm.
Getting married and having children didn't stop him from molesting little boys. Like I said, usually under the age of 6. However, he never abused his own children.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like,
mm-hmm.
I thought that it was that he was also going to be like abusing his kids, because I feel like it's not, you know, out of the realm of possibility at all.
Right. But. Yeah. Well, and I find that a lot with serial killer cases is they never harm their own children or their own families.
Yeah.
It's so fucking weird. So at some point after this, I don't know like when his children were born. I just know that he had children. So I just threw that in there. I don't know the chronological timeline of that. But at some point after getting married, Albert met a man who, I think it was just like a hookup situation.
Mm-hmm.
He took him to a wax museum. And I don't know how this lines up or is tied together, but at this wax museum with this guy, Albert began his fascination with penis bisection, which is what I accidentally looked up on Google because I didn't know what the fuck it was.
What museum are they going to that this, like, what sparked this? I'm so concerned.
I wish I could tell you.
Okay. Because now, like, they had, like, Google back then. You couldn't, like, just be like, yes.
Yeah, well, penis. Now there, I saw many a picture of split penises that I did not need to see. I didn't know what that was. I did not know that meant that they cut a penis right down the middle. Like a slice of fucking pizza.
Oh my God, no. No.
Imagine you just do that with a pizza cutter.
No.
Schling.
Yeah. Oh my God, babe, it's penis bisection night. Grab the pizza cutter.
I thought you were going to say penis bisexual.
No.
Anyway. This fascination quickly turned into an obsession with sexual mutilation. I'm sorry I threw that at you. I just needed to move on from the penises.
Yeah.
In 1903, he was arrested for grand larceny and incarcerated at Sing Sing Correctional Facility, which, if you did not know, is a haunted prison, which I will probably be covering at some point. In 1910, while Albert was working as a house painter in Delaware, he met 19-year-old Thomas Kedden, who was intellectually disabled.
Oh, man.
So by 1910, he was 40. And he's having an affair with a 19-year-old who is mentally disabled.
Yeah.
They began a sexually sadistic relationship, but it's unclear whether or not Thomas was a willing participant. Most likely not.
Yeah.
Because Albert's just a fucking
nightmare. I was going to say they feel like it was maybe not consensual.
No. After only seeing each other for 10 days, Albert took Thomas to an old farmhouse where he tortured him for 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
He tied Thomas up and cut off half of his penis, saying later, quote, "I shall never forget his scream or the look he gave me."
Ugh. So gross. My stomach just like.
Yeah. It's fucking brutal.
So gross.
He intended to kill Thomas, cut up his body, and take it home, but he thought the smell of a dead body in hot weather would draw too much attention. Instead, he poured peroxide on his mutilated penis, wrapped it in a Vaseline-covered cloth, left him a $10 bill, kissed him goodbye, and fucking left.
What the hell? So he was still alive?
Yeah. Thomas was still alive.
What the hell?
So, yep. So this fucking green eggs and ham mutilates this poor kid's penis, pours peroxide on it, says, "Here's some Vaseline on a cloth," leaves him $10, and then he's like, "All right, I'm peacing the fuck out." And then no one knows what the fuck happened to Thomas after that. He was never heard or seen from, heard from or seen again.
Oh my god.
But like, they also never found a body. So no one knows what happened to him.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I was fucking fuming. I was fuming when I was taking those notes. I had to take a break because I was so pissed.
That's so sad.
So in January 1917, Anna left Albert because Albert is just going crazy at this point. Like, his mental health is so bad. And I'm not saying, like, people with mental health issues are crazy. I'm just saying, like, he was legitimately so far beyond help.
Yeah.
Obviously. Very obviously.
I mean, look at the shit he was doing.
That's like what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't just, like, she came home and he's, like, having a panic attack or, like, having an episode and he needs consoling. He's legitimately just deteriorating.
It's, so, like, beyond help at
beyond
this
point. Beyond help. Absolutely. So, yeah, she left him for a man named John Straub, and she left Albert to raise all six children as a single father.
Why would she leave the kids with him if she knows that...
Yep, I know.
Anyway.
And then she took all of the belongings. She took literally everything from the house. She left him with nothing. So they're both, like, pretty fucking shitty.
Yeah.
If you ask me. I'm not saying, like, I feel bad for him because of what she did. I'm saying that both of them are fucking shitty. Like, she shouldn't have left her kids with him, and she definitely shouldn't have left her kids without anything.
Yeah.
Shortly after this, Albert began to have auditory hallucinations. One time, he wrapped himself up in a carpet because John the Apostle told him to.
What the hell? Of course, it's like a religious thing.
Well, that becomes a huge fucking thing.
Oh.
Yes.
Great.
Yep. And I want to say that probably has to do with the orphanage.
Oh, maybe.
It was, I think it was called St. John's.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Albert then started to indulge in self-mutilation, and he would embed needles into his groin and pelvic region.
Ah!
An x-ray of his pelvis after his arrest showed at least 29 needles lodged inside.
Ah! No! No, don't do that!
And that's just what they could count on the x-ray.
Oh my god, no!
Yeah. Fucking 29 needles, are you kidding me?
Oh my god.
There's pictures of that x-ray. Fucking insane.
Yeah.
So, he would also beat himself with the nail-studded paddle that I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's fucking insane. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable, not because it's funny, but I also know you're gonna say some funny shit about this. So, he used to douse a piece of wool with lighter fluid, stick it up his butt, and set it on fire.
They sell butt plugs at the sex store, my guy. You don't gotta do that.
He didn't like his poop raw. He liked it cooked.
Cooked, warming it up for later.
Toasting it up. I think I forgot to mention to you earlier that, like, he started having a fetish for drinking his own urine and eating his own shit.
Mm-hmm. You know how they sell, like things that you just have to warm up? It's, like, pre-cooked already?
Yes.
That's what he was doing to his shit. He was pre-cooking it so that way he would just have to warm it up
Kids
later.
Kids cuisine. Stofers. Minute rice.
Minute shit. Oh my god.
Jiffy
Pop. Do you guys have any prepackaged human shit laying around by any chance? And is there any way that I'd be able to get a discount?
I said Jiffy Poop and I think you missed it.
Jiffy Poop. Yeah, instead of Jiffy Pop. I'm so sorry. So fucking gross. Why did he do that? Oh my god. So wait, did he do this multiple times or is it just like a one time thing he did?
No,
this?
Because he liked to torture himself.
Oh my god.
Because remember when he was in the orphanage, when he was younger than 9 years old, he started to enjoy being tortured.
Yeah. That's so many years.
So he started
of
fucking torturing himself.
Yeah. I wonder if there's just ever a point where it was never enough. Like, he was just, like, he had to keep doing, like, worse and worse things to himself because it just, like, wasn't enough for him. He had, like, a pain threshold.
Oh, I think so, 1,000%. Like, I'm shocked that he didn't have a head injury.
Right. His breath probably smelled so bad.
Probably. Probably worse than Richard Ramirez. You know about that, right?
No.
Oh, that was, like, a thing. Every one of his victims was, like, his breath smelled like shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had wicked bad halitosis. Like, he did not brush his teeth. And so all of his victims were like, you could probably fucking smell him. Yeah. Oh. Richard Ramirez does not brush his teeth. So as I said, he never abused his children, but he would encourage mm-hmm. his children and their friends to spank him with the nail-studded paddle.
Oh my god, that's so... Don't do that! Do not bring your children and their friends into this. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
Then he grew obsessed with cannibalism, but he didn't have any human flesh to consume, so instead he would eat raw meat for dinner and sometimes serve it to his children.
No.
Yep.
So gross.
Imagine knowing you're leaving your 6 children with someone like that.
That's so messed up.
I'm surprised, like, the cycle stopped. If it did. I mean, I'd have to look into it, but I feel like I would have read about it.
Right.
If the cycle didn't stop, I don't know. It could have just been, like, right. they don't want to be like their dad because he's definitely just off his fucking rocker, but.
I feel so bad for these kids because it's just so fucked up.
I know. In 1919, he began murdering people, mostly children. And I'm sorry for this. Like, this is going to destroy you. And I do want everybody to remember, these are not my words. I am not saying this because I believe it is true. I'm saying this as information that I have read that I feel is important for you to know about this man.
Mm-hmm.
In no way do I agree with anything that he says. Please do not come for me. He started to murder people, mostly children, who were either black or mentally handicapped because he thought they wouldn't be missed when they were killed.
Oh my
god.
Because
he saw them as lesser.
Less than.
Yeah.
I already hated this guy, but now he's the worst.
That had me, like, fucking raging.
So, that's so upsetting.
Fuck. Like, what is wrong with you?
Like, the fact that he already cared so little about human life, because he was already, like, murdering people, but, like, that's, like, a whole new level of low, you know what I mean? Like, to not care about human life, and then to add another factor of, like, not caring about these lives specifically is very upsetting.
Yeah, so now we have, he's just a creepy, sadistic fuck. He's horrible to his children, and he's racist, and he's ableist, and a murderer, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a pedophile. He's literally just all bad.
Yeah. All around terrible human being.
It just pisses me off. So then he started paying boys to bring other children to him.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure these boys, like, didn't know. Like, he could have just
Because he's not going to be like, yeah, can you, like, do this really awful thing for me? Like, I don't think anyone in their right mind would, you know, do that knowing what he was doing.
Yeah, like, which is even more upsetting. We know, he could have been telling them, like, he was looking for people to work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, and that's the thing is, like, in the research, like, it doesn't always specify. So we don't really fucking know because this is 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's still fucked that he literally was hiring children to child hunt for him.
What a coward.
Seriously.
Like, I don't know. I just, like, think, like, he seems like such a, I don't know, he just seems like such a pussy.
I think,
like,
he got
found so easily, so it's just like.
Exactly. And I feel like he thought that he was being, or he thought that other people would see him as being smart.
Yeah.
Like, if he got, what I mean? So, yeah. I don't.
But he's not. Like, he's an idiot.
No, he is. Like,
and he's a coward.
So he would torture and murder young children with his implements of hell, which he called them, which were a meat cleaver, butcher knife, and a handsaw.
Oh, man.
By 1924, Albert was suffering from severe psychosis and felt as if God was telling him to torture and eat children.
No. Oh, my God.
And he, like, read the Bible and was like, yeah, this is, like, God's telling me to just...
It pisses me off.
Let me mutilate and eat children.
No.
On July 11th, 1924, Albert found 8-year-old Beatrice Keel playing on her parents' farm on Staten Island. He offered her money to lure her away, but her mother chased Albert away. He later returned to sleep in their barn, but then Beatrice's father made him leave. So, she was all good. 3 days mm-hmm. later was when Frances McDonald was reported missing and found murdered. And in spring 1928, Albert attempted to test his implements of hell on Cyril Quinn. And that was a boy he had been molesting.
Oh, man.
Quinn was on the sidewalk playing ball with his friend when Albert approached them to ask if they'd had lunch. When the boys replied that they hadn't, Albert invited them inside. While the boys were wrestling on Albert's bed, the mattress moved to reveal a knife, a handsaw, and a meat cleaver, which were the implements of hell.
Yeah.
The boys ran off and got away safely. And then February 1927 was when Billy Gaffney went missing. In June 1928 is when Grace Budd went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still that, like, 6 years of unaccounted time between Grace going missing and them catching him. So I'm just going to kind of, like, talk a little bit about that. On February 6th, 1930, Albert remarried to a woman named Estella Wilcox, but they got a divorce after only a week. I wonder why.
I was going to say, for like, her. Who would even marry him in the first place?
In May of the same year, he was arrested for, quote, sending an obscene letter to a woman who answered an advertisement for a maid.
That's what he was arrested for? That's what he was arrested for.
He hadn't got caught for anything else.
No, I know. It's just crazy to me.
Because he's an idiot. He's a fucking moron.
Yeah.
In 1931, Albert got arrested again for God knows what and was sent to Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital for observation. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't find specifically what he was arrested for, but they were like, all right, dude, you need to get off the streets. Like, you cannot be a member of society, clearly.
Yeah.
In 1934, Albert Fish was arrested for the murder of Grace Budd. So that's where we left off.
Okay.
I don't know what happened, like, when he left the psychiatric hospital, but at some point he did, and then he wrote that letter and was a fucking menace to society. He openly admitted to the crime. So this is just, like, go back picture. He's getting arrested. They arrest him. He goes to the station, and straight up, he's like, yeah, I did it. So he openly admits to the crime and even admitted that initially his plan was to mutilate her brother Edward and leave him to bleed to death.
What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking dick.
He told investigators that he never intended to rape Grace, which he didn't, but later admitted to his attorney, and I'm sorry for this, that he ejaculated involuntarily twice while he was strangling her.
Oh my god. Ew. Oh my god, no. Ugh!
After Albert's arrest, Joseph Meehan, the man who identified Billy Gaffney on the train, also identified Albert as the man Billy was with.
Okay.
In another letter to his attorney, Albert described Billy Gaffney's murder. This is a doozy. I did cut some out, and this one is rough. So, if, like, when I say it's rough, it's going to make you sick. And if you need me to pause, like, please tell me.
Okay.
I brought him to the Riker Ave dumps, stripped him naked, and tied his hands and feet, and gagged him with a piece of dirty rag I picked out of the dump.
Ugh.
Then I burned his clothes, threw his shoes in the dump. Then I walked back and took trolley at 2 a.m. and walked home from there. Next day, about 2 p.m., I took tools, a good heavy cat of nine tails, homemade, short handle, cut one of my belts in half, slit the half-inch six strips about 8 inches long. I whipped his bare behind till the blood ran from his legs. I cut off his ears, nose, slit his mouth from ear to ear, gouged his eyes.
Oh, no.
He was dead then. I stuck the knife in his belly and held my mouth to his body and drank his blood.
Ugh.
Then I cut him up. I had a grip with me. I put his nose, ears, and a few slices of his belly in the grip. Then I cut him through the middle of his body, just below his belly button. Then through his legs, about 2 inches below his behind. I cut off the head, feet, arms, hands, and the legs below the knee. This I put in sacks weighed with stones, tied the ends, and threw them into the pools of slimy water you will see along the road going to North Beach. Water is 3 to 4 feet deep. They sank at once. I came home with my meat. I had the front of his body I liked best. I made a stew out of his ears, nose, pieces of his face, and belly. I'm gonna give you a second.
I can't even imagine what kind of person would do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's so bad. Like, all I can say is that he's just like a vile, awful human being. Like, that's all I'm thinking. And it's
he looks like he would.
Ugh. I just like, I can't picture anyone doing that. Like, it's so vile. Oh my God. Ew. I hate looking at him. I hate looking at him. I hate him. I hate him.
There was a little bit more of this. I'm sorry. I put onions, carrots, turnips, celery, salt, and pepper. It was good. Mm-hmm. I put strips of bacon on each cheek of his behind and put it in the oven. In about 2 hours, it was nice and brown, cooked through. I ate every bit of the meat in about 4 days.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
This next sentence just, like, shows how fucking vile he is. And I'm not reading it because I want to. I'm reading it because I want you guys to hate him as much as I do. Because I had to fucking read this and suffer through it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you. I cut out a lot from this. His little monkey was as sweet as a nut. But his peewees I could not chew. I threw them in the toilet. I don't know if I have to remind you that Billy Gaffney was 4. This is the kid he's talking about.
Oh my God. No, 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 no. I hate that. I forgot that he was that young. Like, when you reminded me again, I forgot that he was that young.
Yeah.
I want this to be over.
It's almost over.
I love you, but I want this to be
over. It's almost
over.
I'm at the trial.
Okay.
No more letters. I did want to say that I forgot to write down. When he was arrested, he did show the police where Grace's bones were, so they were able to lay Grace to rest.
Okay.
However, they never found Billy's body.
Oh, man.
So the 10-day trial for the murder of Grace Budd began on March 11th, 1935. Albert's defense pleaded insanity, claiming to have heard the voices of God telling him to do what he did. Several psychiatrists testified about Albert's sexual issues, such as cannibalism, voyeurism, whipping, pedophilia, necrophilia, urination, and sadism. The defense noted that Albert was a, quote, psychiatric phenomenon, because there was no record of another person who possessed so many sexual abnormalities.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
The former manager at Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital testified that Albert basically said that he was a fucking weirdo, but he was definitely sane.
Oh.
He also said that as fucked up as his sexual interests were, it didn't inhibit his ability to know right from wrong.
Mm. So he was just an asshole. He was just an evil person.
Yes, but he had psychosis, and he also believed that, like, God's telling him to do all this shit. But I didn't, like, write anything down that he said, because he's just a fucking moron and I don't care. But I know he said stuff along the lines of, like, he knows right from wrong. Or his defense attorney said something along the lines of, like, him knowing right from wrong, but not what's real and what's not.
Gotcha.
But that's not an insanity plea, is knowing right from wrong. And so that's where the line gets drawn, right?
Yeah.
So the entire jury knew he was insane, but they found him guilty anyway. They didn't want to give him an insanity plea. They found him guilty anyway because they felt he deserved to be electrocuted.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, jury.
I love that. And you know how I feel about the death penalty, but I think, like, this was well fucking deserved.
Oh, absolutely
well deserved.
I feel like the electric chair was not enough.
Right. Albert was sentenced to death by electric chair and arrived at Sing Sing Prison around the end of March 1935. In prison, he wrote a series of notes about his crimes, stating that he, quote, had a child in every state.
What?
Which meant he had killed a child in every state.
Oh.
But there's only enough evidence to support that the three that we talked about and then 6 others that are possible. Yeah, so he's claiming that he had murdered a child in every state. Now, when he said had a child in every state, I don't know if that means that he had, like, tortured a child in every state, or, like, molested a child in every state, or killed a child in every state.
Yeah.
But he said every state. So, whatever he means, I don't fucking know. So on January 16th, 1936, Albert was executed in the electric chair. He entered the chamber at 11.06 p.m. and he died at 11.09 after two jolts of electricity. So he was electrocuted twice. So he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could enjoy being electrocuted.
This guy was weird, though.
He was. He was a freak.
I wouldn't be surprised, but...
Also, I wanted to say... I forgot to write this down, too. Or I think I just, like, didn't want to, but now I feel like I should because it'll make you laugh. There was this whole conspiracy theory going around that the reason that they had to do two jolts of electricity is because all the needles in his penis, like, inhibited the effectiveness of the electrocution. But they were like, no, it's just that... Back then, like, it was, like, a shock. Like, it wasn't... It takes a lot to be electrocuted, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Can you imagine being... Like, first of all, he's a bad person, but, like, also being so bad at dying. That, like, one shock wasn't enough. He had to get two shocks.
Well, a lot of people had to get two shocks.
Oh, okay, back then. Okay,
I guess that's my point, is it's, like... People are like, oh, it's because he had needles in his dick, and he's, like... And everyone's like, no, that's just... That was standard back then.
Gotcha.
So,
die, motherfucker. I hate you.
I also hate him. So, he assisted the executioner in putting the electrodes on his body.
Of course he would.
Fucking course he did.
Of course he would.
And his last words were, quote, I don't even know why I'm here.
Are you serious? Are you kidding me? The audacity of this guy. The audacity.
He fucking admits to all this shit. And then he's like, I don't know why I'm here. What? Bitch, yes you do. Ready? And this is my last note. And it's like, it's upsetting for a lot of reasons. So after the execution, Albert's defense attorney, James Dempsey, told the press that he had Albert's final statement that he had written hours prior to being executed. But he refused to read the document or ever release it, saying, quote, I will never show anyone. It was the most filthy string of obscenities I had ever read.
Oh, my God. His own defense attorney?
His own defense attorney.
Attorney. Oh, my God.
After he was dead, would not release the document of his, like, final
statement. That must have been some, fucked up shit then.
That's what I'm saying. It's upsetting to not know, but also... I feel like we're better off not knowing.
Yeah.
It's upsetting that his... I mean, I'm sure the defense attorney was court appointed because he didn't have a whole lot of money. Like, his son was sending him money.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he... Whatever fucking amendment it was that gave you the right to a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm sure he used that and he got a court-appointed guy, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, that poor lawyer had to sit through 10 days of trial with multiple letters that he had written and notes that he had written. The one about Billy Gaffney and the one about Grace that he had sent to Grace's family.
Yeah.
So they have, like, all the shit and piled up already. And then he has the audacity to write this document of all this heinous shit and give it to his defense attorney.
Yeah. So screwed up. What an evil, evil, evil man. I'm so glad he's dead. It's like the only one that I'm like, yeah, death. Literally electric chair. Literally, like, go to jail. Electric chair.
I was just going to say, jail. Billy Gaffney is still on, I think it's called, like, Charlie's List. That's where I found some information about his disappearance. Basically, he's still classified as a missing person.
Why?
Because... Even though someone admitted to the murder, there's no evidence that he was murdered.
Oh, gotcha.
And so he's still classified as a missing person.
That's so sad for his family. Because
they couldn't find his remains in this, I think it was a river or a lake.
Right.
But regardless.
That must have been so upsetting for his family to deal with, of him just, like, being, like, no closure at all.
Yeah. And Albert very well could have just been being a dick and, like, just pulled that out of his ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. I have no words.
I'm sorry. Those are my last words to you.
Oh, man. Do you mind if I just go into the... I just want this to be over.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm
ready
I'm
to be done with this. No, like, you're great. I appreciate you. You're so good at your job, but also you're so good at your job that, like, fuck you. You've ruined me every single time.
Sorry.
It's so unfair. All right. So If you would like to reach out to us and find us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP. You can also find us on Twitter at Nightmare TCP. If you would like to send us an email, reach out to us, give us any stories of anything personal that's happened to you. That sounds like I'm being like, come talk to us if you need help. No, like if you were emotionally traumatized by this episode, reach out to us.
No, I don't want to get sued. Please don't do that. I gave you a warning.
But we love to hear from you guys. We're always looking for new stories, case suggestions, stuff like that. And even if you just want to say hi, you can email us at yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com.
Also, real quick, if you have any stories, like listener stories, please send those in, because we did kind of like a half-ass listener story episode, but we want to do those regularly. My dog just snorted into the mic. I'm sorry.
She's so cute. I love her. She keeps doing it. But yeah, we love to hear from you guys. And even if it's like easier for you to reach out on the social media too, like do that. Any way that
we'll
you
respond
want to reach out to us.
In 1 to 3 business days.
Yeah. I'm trying to get better at like going on Twitter, but we'll see how that goes. But yes, we'll get back to you at some point. And if you would like to support us in a financial way, if you would like to help us out in that way, if you really love us and just like are like, oh my god, I want to give these people money, how do I do that? Well, we have a Patreon, and you can become a Mothman baddie at patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp
for $5 a month, and you get for early access to episodes and our episode notes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Audrey's episode notes.
Because Addie's are in all one document, but you usually get mine.
Hope you enjoyed. Because no one enjoyed.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your week. I hope you recover from this.
Yes.
I apologize. I'm not paying for anyone's therapy. I hope my dog snoring is therapeutic to you.
Yeah.
Have a good week. I'm sorry about this. Please forgive me. Please keep listening. I will never do this to you again.
That's a lie, and you know it.
It is absolutely a lie.
That's a big fat lie.
You know what? I'm leaving. Bye. Bye. Okay, bye. I'm tired of being bullied. Bye.
Love you. Bye.